Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lope. Today, readers who've been waiting to learn what's been happening to Albert Schmidt, the crusty Manhattan attorney at the heart of two of Louis Begley's most popular novels about Schmidt and Schmidt Delivered, need wait no longer. Mr. Begley's latest novel, Schmidt Steps Back, picks up the story of the 78-year-old man Schmitty in 2008 and observes the way he deals with the many indignities and occasional joys of growing older. The book is published by Knopf. Louis Begley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's
delighted to be here.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Your character, Schmitty, became known to not only through the book, of course, but a huge audience of moviegoers through the movie about Schmidt, which, of course, was a blockbuster hit for Jack Nicholson. Did you have any involvement in the movie?
None whatsoever. As you know, the name of the film is the same as the name of my book. In fact, the story told in the movie is quite different, except that the basic dilemma treated, what happens after you've retired from your profession, you've lost your wife, you have a bad relationship with your daughter, that remains the same. But the setting is totally different. My setting is in the Hamptons, in Bridgehampton to be precise, in New York City. Alexander Payne moved me to Oklahoma City in Nebraska, and he made my lawyer an actuary. And what's worst, he took away his absolutely marvelous girlfriend, Carrie.
So it sounds like you weren't happy with all the changes.
Oh, I didn't like the changes, but I loved the movie.
And any discussion about the other novels in the series becoming a movie as well?
Well, there's been some whispering here and there. But I think that these things are almost certain never to happen. And if they do happen, it's so absolutely astonishing that it's best not to think about it.
Well, it's had such a great director with Alexander Payne. Of course, he went on to do Sideways and The Descendants most recently.
Descendants is absolutely fabulous.
About Schmidt was published in 1996. Schmidt Delivered 4 years later. And then it's been, 12 or 13 more years?
Well, it's been 12.
12 years since the last one.
Yes.
How come?
Well, because I was busy with other things. I wrote another novel or two. There was Shipwreck, and there was Matters of Honor. And then I wrote two nonfiction books. One was about Kafka, and the other one was about the Dreyfus Affair. And then also, while I had Schmidt very much on my mind, he needed time. He needed things to happen to him. He needed to change his point of view on many things. So I think the timing was just about right.
People like Edward Albee always talk about the fact that characters sort of ruminate in their head, that for him anyway, it takes only a couple of weeks to write a play, but it sort of sits in his head. Is that sort of what you mean, that it sort of needed to brew a little bit?
Well, I think that being able to write a play in 2 weeks is absolutely splendid. It takes me several months to write a novel, but it does have to be there with the yeast and the dough rises.
And is your I imagine the approach is probably totally different when you write fiction and nonfiction.
Well, I am really a fiction writer. I like telling my own stories. I like saying things that I've made up. I happen to love Kafka's work, so I was glad to do that. And I've always been extraordinarily indignant about the Dreyfus Affair. So I was glad to write that book. But those are, for me, sort of side trips, not my main effort.
Let's talk about the character Schmitty in Schmidt Steps Back. There are similarities between you and the character?
Well, of course, I'm a male.
It's a good start right there.
I'm a retired lawyer. I have many of Schmidt's tics. I happen to like martinis. I happen to like bourbon.
Good choice on both accounts.
Yes. I have a house in Sagaponack, which is not far from Bridgehampton. But I think the resemblances very quickly stop when you get beyond the tics. For instance, I happen to be very happy in my life. Schmidt is not. I have absolutely exquisite relations with my children. Of course, Schmidt's terrible relationship with his daughter Charlotte is the tragedy of his life. I have an absolutely marvelous wife. I do not have a series of girlfriends. So the resemblance stops, but Schmidt is made of so much that I have observed in my personal life, and I've grown so fond of him that I feel he's a sort of my doppelganger in a way.
There are comedians that take great pleasure in taking on their children in sometimes really coarse ways.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are fortunate enough to have kids that are good and they're a good relationship, but I relish in those moments. And I'm wondering, since you have such a cantankerous relationship, your character does with the daughter, if there's something you're either working out or just enjoying and relishing a little bit by having this very odd relationship in your books.
Well, I think it's great fun to play out nightmares. The relationship between Schmidt and Charlotte is a nightmare. If you want to look for vignettes of me, you can find a vignette caricature of me in the person of Joe Canning, the horrible novelist in Schmidt Delivered and in Schmidt Steps Back, and that I enjoyed that hugely, having a caricature of myself make these cameo appearances.
And there's Schmidt is Wasp, who admits maybe secretly harboring some anti-Semitic feelings. Yet you have an incredible story of being Jewish and coming out of Poland. What were the thoughts there in creating the character in that regard?
Well, you know, I think that when you look back at the United States of the 50s and the 60s, anti-Semitism was so much a part of the social structure of the East, of the United States, certainly as I knew the East Coast, that I would find it very hard to write a realistic novel about that period without dealing with anti-Semitism, which is what I do. And of course, Schmidt harbors anti-Semitic feelings, but they're sort of, you know, of no great importance. They're, you know, I don't want them in my club sort. Doesn't go much further, which is not that it doesn't mean that I like that. I hate it, but it doesn't go very far.
I'm Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopate today. My guest is Louis Begley. His new book is Schmidt Steps Back. You remember he's also the author of the novel about Schmidt. Schmidt seems to have almost unlimited patience as well. Is that something he's acquired over age? You've acquired over age?
Well, he has mellowed a great deal. I actually have angelic patience.
I've had if you do say so yourself.
Yes.
Did you always have that?
No, I've been working on it, but I've worked on it longer and more successfully than Schmidt, so that now I think I'm actually quite pleasant to live with, which could not be said of me, let's say 30 years ago.
Let's get into the story just a little bit more. Schmidt has been retired from his law firm for several years when the novel opens, and he heads a foundation established by a billionaire friend.
Yes.
He has a great life. Tell us about who Alice is in the story.
Well, Alice is the widow of a young partner of his who was his protege and who died surprisingly young, having retired even earlier. And Schmidt, at the beginning of the book, passing through Europe because he was on a tour of inspecting the offices of his friend's foundation, stops in Paris, because that's where the couple were living, to see her, to offer his condolences in person, and to find out what happened. Well, he finds out what happened, and he falls heels over head in love with her at first sight. It's an extraordinary thing for a man who's then 70. No, he's at that point. I always lose track of the chronology of Schmidt. Let's say he's 65. He falls really heels over head in love with her, and things progress extremely rapidly. And then there is an incident which causes him to believe that she is not worthy. And he is a man given to sudden attacks of anger. And he decides this is it. And there is no way for him to back off. Or let's say it takes him 13 years to back off and to find her, which he does at the end of the story, which has, I think, an extraordinarily happy ending.
Well, don't give too much away.
I shan't.
She's a bit younger than Schmitty.
Yes, she's about she is 15 years young.
And is there the attraction mutual?
Oh yes, indeed. She succumbs almost instantly, just as he did.
I think many of your books in the Schmitt series are about getting older and the way we look at ourselves. How does Schmitt falling in love with Alice force him to look at himself?
Well, he sees himself as a man bereft. His relationship with his daughter, as we've said, is absolutely terrible. His relationship with his former girlfriend, Carrie, is wonderful, but she is married somebody else. He realizes that he's much older than Alice, though not improbably older, and he asks himself, what can he really offer her? How long will he be the man that he still is, whether in terms of his health or his libido or his performance? What is going to become of him? And there are no real answers to those questions. They're unanswerable questions. But he decides that he will give it his best shot.
Late in the novel, when Schmitt has flown to Paris to meet Alice, he catches an unexpected reflection of himself in a store window. What's the significance of that moment?
Well, it is a coming to face-to-face with what age has done to him, the extraordinary games that time plays with us.
And you touch on that, actually, in an essay that was just published this last week in the International Herald Tribune. That must be, obviously, themes that you think about about the aging process. Tell us about that article.
Well, that was actually an article that appeared in Sunday Review last Sunday, was picked up by the International Herald Tribune, and Sunday Review asked me if I would do a piece on aging and on solitude, and if I would explain what was good about growing older. I said I could write the essay, but there was nothing good about growing old. I think it's Lauren Bacall who said that growing old is not for sissies. And that's my basic approach to it.
And in part of that, and you write in this article about it, is your relationship with your mother, who lived to be 94. She passed away.
2004.
Tell us just about that relationship and how close you were because of the circumstances of coming to America.
Well, my mother and I made it through World War II in Poland. Since we were Jews, that was quite a feat. And we managed it thanks to my mother's extraordinary courage and resourcefulness, and also because we were very close to each other, so we were a good team. However, when we came here, when I became an adolescent, I was terribly worried that she was going to take over my life entirely, that there'd be nothing left for me, and I tried to keep her at arm's length, which I did quite successfully, to the point that when I wanted to be a tender son toward the end of her life, I didn't really know how. I was a very dutiful son. I did exactly all the things that one was supposed to do. But I don't think that I felt then the meaning of the desolation of her last years of the solitude. My father had died 40 years earlier, which is an extraordinary period of time to be a widow with only one son, no family, friends who were mostly dead, or, you know, losing their marbles or simply boring, and what it means to live comfortably but in that kind of sour solitude.
It's a touching article. This is your third book in the Schmidt series. So might there be another one?
Well, if time is kind to me and to Schmidt, yes. But we'll have to give it a few years.
And that brewing and ruminating we talked about, is that happening now about what might happen to him in the future?
Well, no, because I'm in the midst of writing another novel, so my head is full of the other novel.
I've been speaking with Louis Begley about his latest novel. It's called Schmidt Steps Back, which is published by Knopf. And Louis Begley will be reading and signing books tonight at the Center for Fiction. That's at 17 East 47th Street. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.